League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Okay, we are really enjoying this sports equinox. You know how they say some people, and I might say this about you, your behavior is different when it's a full moon.
True.
Or when there's an eclipse. Well, we're in the sports equinox.
And
right
you have
now.
Like extra hair on your chest with this full moon.
Oh, you have no idea what happens.
I cannot imagine.
Crazy,
let's not go there.
Crazy
this is
things.
Key rated, boss. You just keep it down.
Yes. Well, I'm just pointing out that we're living in this great moment of the sports equinox where all the major sports are deep into play. We've got the World Series tomorrow, Monday Night Football tonight, which is not a very good game, by the way. It's 0-0 with 5 minutes remaining in the first half. Neither the Falcons nor the Giants can score. The NFL has some trades going on. Amari Cooper now going to the Cowboys. If you've not heard, Amari Cooper will be traded to the Cowboys for a number one pick. So that's a big deal.
World and it might get exciting because there's 1 week left in the trade deadline for the NFL.
Well, there will be more to come. Patrick Peterson rumored to be going. There are certainly going to be some more trades.
Yes.
Carlos Hyde is already gone. The Browns traded him over to the Jaguars who needed...
On a Friday.
On a Friday. Yeah, he wasn't going to be able to do much in 48 hours of prep work, I wouldn't think. But when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Steve Lyons. Remember, they called him Psycho. And it wasn't because he dropped his pants down in the middle of a play, although that got him a lot of attention when he dropped and showed his underwear to the world.
Let's bring it on.
Well, you know, in the night that OBJ has mooned Randy Moss on the football field.
It only seems appropriate, right?
It only seems appropriate. In the equinox moment, we're going to bring back Psycho, and we're going to talk to Steve Lyons. He is currently an analyst for NESN, which is the...
New England Sports Network.
For the New England Sports Network for the Red Sox. So he knows all things about what's coming up this series, Red Sox, Dodgers, the series that MLB wanted, frankly.
Oh, boy, did they want it.
They didn't want the Astros and the Brewers. This is a good matchup for MLB.
It is. It's exactly. Two big traditionals, huge markets, histories, rings. This is A-plus for MLB.
And two really talented teams.
Yes.
When we come back, we'll ask Steve Lyons what the Red Sox are going to do when they face an NL team in an NL ballpark. Mm-hmm. What will they do with J.D. Martinez? They want to keep their DH in the lineup. How will they maneuver? We'll also ask him about Craig Kimbrell's recent struggles over the postseason. It'll be Steve Lyons when we return here on SB Nation Radio.
Gifting Map is your map for great gifts. Head over to giftingmap.com today. This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Well, after all the hype that Steve Lyons, Psycho, was going to join us, he is a no-show at the moment. We'll get him in when we can get him. But it is funny looking back at his bio in anticipation of his coming on. He had a nice career. He was in the league for about 8 seasons. Mm-hmm. Never really a standout. His batting average was around 250. But he really became famous when he dropped his pants. Remember, he slid into base. There was dirt cut in his undergarments, and he felt the need to pull his pants down almost unconsciously. And he didn't really realize he'd done it until the crowd was all laughing about it and having good fun. And then he looked around and realized what he had done and quickly pulled his pants back up.
And women spectators were handing him dollar bills as he was coming off the field. I love it. And, you know, the next day he had something like 20 interview requests. And he said, you know, I bet pitchers that have had no hitters don't have this many requests. So what a great thing to be able to turn that into a positive. But really, he is kind of he was the Marvin Gonzalez of the Astros, honestly.
Yes.
In 1990, he was one of the few people that played all 9 defensive positions in the major league in one game. And it was an exhibition game. It was the Windy City Classic, I guess, with the Cubs and the White Sox. But all 9 positions in one game. That's cool.
Yeah. No, he was a great utility player, no doubt.
Yeah. Outfield, infield, you name it.
One thing that, I mean, we're looking now at the Red Sox facing the Dodgers, and one of the questions they're going to have to solve is, what do they do with J.D. Martinez when they go to a National League ballpark? J.D. Martinez, of course, the outstanding designated hitter for the Red Sox. They want to keep him in that lineup. He's just so essential to their offensive production. But that means one of the position players needs to sit. And really, the only place that Martinez is a fit is in the outfield. Mm-hmm. And the notion that one of those three great outfielders, one of those amazing outfielders would be benched is just a problem. Okay, we have Steve Lyons joining us. Fantastic. Steve, you're joining David and Carla.
That sounds great. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, and we're
bragging on you.
Yeah, we're bragging on you, and now we're diving deeply into the big question I've got for the Red Sox, and we're counting on you to answer that for us. How will they find a way to put J.D. Martinez in the lineup when they're playing in a National League ballpark without a DH?
Well, forget about the Red Sox and J.D. Martinez. Let's keep bragging about me.
Exactly.
Well, Carla had fond memories of your dropping pants and everything else.
Okay, let's be clear.
Yes.
David went to the pants dropping. I went to your 1990 game, your Windy City Classic, when you played all 9 defensive positions in one game.
Yeah, that was amazing. I basically meant I couldn't keep a job, right? bouncing around.
Well, she turned a little flush when we talked about the dropping of the pants, but that's another matter.
Yeah, I needed a date.
Yeah, well, I guess it worked. All right, let's move along. Red Sox, what are we going to do? J.D. Martinez, he got to play in Los Angeles, does he not?
Yeah, he's definitely playing. They're looking at a few options, which is kind of crazy. I don't think Alex Cora is going to do this, but there's the possibility that they bring Mookie Betts and have him come in and play second base, because he came up as a second baseman. He's won a couple gold gloves as an outfielder. He's incredible. He's the MVP this season as an outfielder, but he's originally a second baseman. And then if he decides not to do that, he's going to have a tough decision, because you either have to sit down Jackie Bradley Jr. or Andrew Benintendi. And JBJ, you know, was the MVP of the league championship series, and Benintendi was starting to heat up a little bit too. So one of those guys is going to have to sit, because JD plays. There's no question he will be in the lineup.
We're talking to Steve Lyons, who is a former Red Sox player and now with Nesson. Let me ask you about the rotation for the Sox. Sale had that awful belly button ring situation. I say that tongue-in-cheek. But obviously he's coming back. He's had some time off. Do you think he'll be 100%? And then how about, if you would, talk about Eovaldi. What a great pickup he was for that rotation.
Yeah. I don't think Sale will be 100%. I don't think he has been for a while now. It's been very odd to watch his outings, because one time he came out and he was throwing hard into the mid-upper 90s. Everything was working for him. And the next time he came out, and his fastball was about 89 or 90. He couldn't locate that fastball. He didn't have a great slider. Really struggled through a start. And, you know, now he just spent a night or day and a half in the hospital, yeah, with the belly button ring, right, the infection. I'm pretty sure we're thinking that it was a food poisoning situation instead.
Yep.
But his, you know, he's not right right now. He's not the Chris Sale that we've seen pitch in the past. So we're not sure exactly what they're going to get out of him. But one thing I know is he's like as good a competitor as you'll ever see in the game. So whatever he has, you know, you're going to get it. You're going to see it. So we just hope that he has command of his pitches. Even if he doesn't have the great velocity, if he's got command, he's going to be fine.
So, Steve, sticking with the pitching for Boston, we've seen some struggles, which is unusual, out of Craig Kimbrell in the ALCS and even with the Yankees. Do you buy into the theory that he was tipping his pitches in the ALCS? And if so, now that they've figured that out, supposedly, will we see the Kimbrell of old in the World Series?
Yeah, I think we will. And I think he was probably tipping his pitches. It doesn't take much. And, you know, there's guys that hang around, like, you know, like, for instance, when I was playing, and I didn't play that often, you know, we just sit around and look for things. You know, we're staring at the pitcher, or one guy will get a sign to the third base coach to pay attention to all the signs that he flashes. And then if there's anything going on when he uses a certain sequence of signs. And the same thing for the pitchers. They just stand around and watch to see if he does anything differently on different pitches. And he was. And someone figured it out. And when you know what Kimbrel looks like when he's going really good, and, you know, he has a swing and miss slider, and when nobody was swinging at any of them. So it got to the point where you're thinking, they must know it's coming. So they're not going to swing at it if they know it's coming. And he got banged around pretty good. And it's a lot easier to hit a guy when you know what's coming. So I think they fixed that, and I think he's going to be fine.
We're talking to Steve Lyons, a former Boston Red Sox player. Let's talk about Alex Cora. Of course, we're broadcasting here in Houston, and he was a part of the Houston Astros championship team last year. He's done such a job as a manager this year for the Red Sox. Describe his impact on the team.
It's been huge. You know, this team really needed a leader that related to the ball club a little bit better than the last manager that was here. And, you know, and Alex bilingual, that really helped too with the Latin players, where they can feel like they're included, like you're not talking around them. I don't think you can overstate that enough, his ability to communicate with all of the players. And on top of which, he's had a horseshoe wrapped around him in the entire season. I mean, this guy can't make a move that doesn't pay off. It's really been amazing to watch. He's had a lot of his team have to buy into them getting a lot more rest than they want to. He did that all season long. You'd see guys that were on a hot streak, and then he'd sit them down for a couple days, and he'd say, they'll be hot when they get back in. And sure enough, they would be, whereas most players would tell you, I'm on fire right now. The last thing I want is 2 days off. And so it's just everything he's done has worked out really well. And you just can't say enough about what he's been able to do and the kind of output that he's got from those players.
So, Steve, we've got about a minute left. Your pick for the series champs, and why?
I think it'll be Red Sox in six games. They're just better. You know, I really thought the Houston Astros were probably the best team, but the Red Sox found a way to beat them. But the Dodgers certainly deserve to be in it. But if you're really thinking about maybe the top seven or eight teams in all of baseball, most of them are American League teams. And we've already beaten the Yankees. They had 100 wins. We already beat Houston. They had more than 100 wins. And the Dodgers are a team that had, 92 wins playing in a really weak division. So they're still good. They deserve to be there, but they're not as good as the Red Sox are.
Very good. Well, it should be a great series. Let's buckle up and enjoy. Steve Lyons, thanks so much for joining us here on SB Nation Radio.
All right, you guys. Have fun tonight.
It is interesting. He thought the Astros were pretty good, and the Astros are very good. Red Sox were able to pull it out. I mean, we're going to go to break here, but when we come back, let's just spend a minute on that Astros team because
I'm not so sure that the Astros didn't beat themselves as much as Boston beat them.
All right, when we come back, we're going to figure out why the gloss says the Astros perhaps are the best team in baseball this year when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Carla, I hope you know that when it comes to safety, there's nothing more important than your vehicle brakes. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your vehicle. Brands you trust like Brake Best, Brake Best Select, and Wagner Thermo Quiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the brake parts and accessories you need at guaranteed low prices. You got that?
Got it.
All right. And when we went to break, you were mumbling that perhaps the best team didn't win, that maybe the Astros were really the best team in baseball, and the Red Sox sort of squeaked out of here with, a bit of a lucky win.
Well, you're putting words in my mouth just a
maybe
little bit.
Maybe so.
Because
okay.
I will say I think the Astros, top to bottom roster, including the pitching staff, yes, on paper, that is the strongest team for sure. Take nothing away from the Boston Red Sox. They are powerful from top to bottom, 1 through 9 in the lineup. You know, I think where they might have a little bit of weaknesses in their bullpen.
Yep.
But weakness is a relative term when you're talking about a 108-win team in a tough division of the AL East. You know, it was a lot of bad luck. When you look at the Astros, who had the best pitching staff in so many categories, number one in Major League Baseball, from April through September, and October came and bit their booty. So many weird, weird things happened. You know, like the bullpen imploding two nights in a row.
Yep.
I mean, Osuna giving up 5 earned runs.
And Osuna had been lights out since coming back to the Astros.
He'd been incredible. Mm-hmm. Just weird things were happening. They had to answer questions immediately about a cheating scandal after one game. That's never happened with the Astros before. And do you remember game one? The umps went into the dugout to pull out Maldonado's catching glove to check the inside. You know, it was all square and good. But then that bad interference call, the fan interference call in game four, to me, game four was the pivotal difference.
Right.
And again, please know that I'm not taking anything away from the Red Sox because they played lights out and good enough to win. But what could have been a 2-2 series, it was critical, became a 3-1 Boston lead. I don't agree with that fan interference call, but you can't. I'm going to try and take the high road like you did with your Cowboys earlier. I can't blame it on that one call. But honestly, they lost their way in that game four, and they lost their way the rest of the way. They never were able to recover from that. And also in game four was not only the fan interference call, but Hinch beat himself. Okay, so what I saw was the pupil in Alex Cora outdueling the teacher, which was A.J. Hinch, because they were together last year. Last year, do you remember George Springer? Major hitting slump, and he's the leadoff batter. Lots of pressure from the media from all over the place to move him out of the leadoff spot. A.J. Hinch stuck by him. What ends up happening? Not only a World Series championship for the Astros, but the MVP of the World Series for George Springer. A.J. Hinch went against what he knows is best, and he moved things around in his batting order and put Bregman into the leadoff spot. Bregman was hitless from game four until the end.
Had some near hits. I mean, they were
near
look
hit.
At the Benintendi catch.
Was
it was amazing.
Near.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying with the Astros. I think it is hard to repeat. It showed why. And I think that Hinch wavered from what he knows is a winning formula. And he got outmanaged by Alex Cora, who was almost like, I felt like a little bit he was playing, well, I know Cora knows I'm going to do this, so I'm going to do this instead. And maybe that really wasn't the case, you know, and I don't know. It was a tough loss. I'm pulling for the Red Sox. I would love, because you look at a 108-win team against a 91-win team in a weak division in the National League.
Yep.
It just kills me.
Yep.
Kills me.
Well, I tell you what, with the Red Sox, they do. Sale, who struggled with his health, has now had a long layoff. So if food poisoning was an issue, he's completely bounced back from that. David Price, who long struggled in all playoffs, has now really come back.
0-9 until the Astros.
And then he had great 6 innings that he said he found something in the dugout and the bullpen warming up the night before, getting himself ready. If he's found himself and Sale and Price can pitch the way they're capable of pitching, that's going to be a formidable duo at the top. And then if Kimbrel, if in fact the problem with him is that he was tipping his pitches and that has been corrected.
Which Steve Lyon thinks was the case.
Which is interesting to hear Steve Lyon say that. And nobody really knows more about the insides of the Red Sox than Steve Lyon's right now. That would be a big thing to have a return of that Kimbrel from the regular season to get that kind of a closer. Then they're really well positioned with the big two at the top of the starting rotation and then Kimbrel at the end of the game.
They really are. I think it's interesting to note, too, that, and I would never blame this on injuries because the Astros wouldn't want it that way. They're that type of people. But Jose Altuve had knee surgery the morning after they were eliminated.
Yep.
McCullers is possible, probable Tommy John surgery. And Charlie Morton, still major shoulder issues. So, but the bottom line is, having all of that, just put that aside, is that the Astros failed to excel at the small things that define the Cleveland series and game one in Boston.
It's always a game of inches. I mean, if
it's a game of inches.
Benintendi hadn't quite gotten to that hit at the end of game four. The ball might have bounced. Astros had a walk-off score, win. Might have been the whole momentum right there.
There are so many things.
So many little nits and gnats.
I mean, in game five, Verlander's pitch to J.D. Martinez on a full count that would have struck him out.
Yep.
It was the most perfect pitch, even by, you know, Ron Darling, who loves the Red Sox, said, that's a pitcher's pitch. You throw down your glove, you are done. It's perfect. It's called a ball to make it a full count. What happens? Next pitch,
home run
over the fence, puts the Red Sox on the board 1-0. Of course, they go on to take the game. It's little teeny things like that. The stars were not aligning for the Astros, but they did veer away from what they know to work.
To add to that, Richard Justice was talking about on Straight Heat with Patrick how Rafael Devers later in that game hit a three-run homer.
Yes.
And the pitch, according to StatCast, that Justin Verlander threw could not have been any better. And he still hit a three-run homer off of that pitch. Like, there was no mistake in that pitch whatsoever.
Right.
And it's just, as you said, the stars aligned for the Red Sox.
And
that's a great point about
Rafael
Devers.
It was barely even a home run, too. It was sort of a deep pop-up that just carried to the very spot that it could actually be counted as a home run.
That's when you just, it just should highlight how, when you have a dynasty, teams that can repeat, no matter what the sport, NFL, NBA, you know, NHL, it is so hard. It's just hard to do it. That's a great point, Jose, because that was insane. It was a beautiful pitch. You couldn't ask for more out of Verlander.
All right, looking ahead, we have several key figures of the Astros likely to go. I mean, Dallas Keuchel is a free agent. Charlie Morton is a free agent. Those are two key cogs. I mean, two of their top four starting pitchers could walk in free agency.
I get the feeling Morton doesn't want to walk. I think he'd love to finish as an Astro. Mm-hmm. I get the feeling that Keuchel's ready to walk. He wants money. And I think, you know, with the 12-11 record, I don't know what his money's going to look like. I mean, he'll command some good dollars, but
I think he's got a big payday coming.
You do?
No, I think, and as somebody said, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for him to enter into free agency at this moment. He's still young. He does have pedigree. He's won a Cy Young.
He's a southpaw. It's all,
I mean, you line up all those things, and there's just so few good, really premier starting pitchers, former Cy Young Award winner types. I think he's going to get a big payday.
Imagine what he could do for a team that was really close to the edge, like a Mariners team, or hell, even the Brewers.
Yes.
The Brewers could use another starting
pitcher.
Yes,
they could.
Imagine what I agree with you, Carla. I think he's out of there. And I think the Astros now have to at least retain one of them, considering the almost confirmed Lance McCullers Tommy John injury.
I think it's confirmed, too. What do you think went on with Jose Altuve? What's his knee injury? Why is no one talking about
it? It's the patella. It's the kneecap. So he was playing with a broken kneecap.
Okay, it's not the ACL. That got me a little nervous.
He wouldn't have been able to walk with the ACL. It's the kneecap that he had a fracture on.
Going back to Dallas Keuchel, the team I think is going to go after him hard are the Yankees. I mean, look at the Yankees. They've got a lot of money to spend. They stayed under the luxury tax this year. Mm-hmm. Sabathia's likely done there.
Sure.
Sonny Gray is gone. They need starting pitching, and they've got the money to spend.
Interesting. Okay, I could see him in New York.
Well, I mean, it's not my wish. I never like to see the Yankees buy a team or buy a player like that. But I think all those stars are lining up, and that's a real risk. Now,
Marwin Gonzalez is another one who's a free agent.
Yeah, no, he is.
They need to keep him.
I mean, going back to your point about Charlie Morton, he's 35. He will command a smaller number on the market. Mm-hmm. And he knows this Astros team well. I think he feels very connected to the city. He is a guy, I think, that they could re-sign at a very reasonable deal and then bring up young people and fill around them. I mean, they've got some young names who are going to come up and really be contributors. So I think they'll be fine next year.
They've got their 1-2 in Verlander and Cole.
That's where they start, right there.
And that is where they start. And I think Cole, too, you know, pitching in Fenway Park, Fenway the first time in a playoff game, you know, he was nerves. He didn't look like the normal Cole that we see. So, wow, it's just hard to repeat.
Yes.
But take nothing away. Boston looked great.
Well,
they're a force.
Dallas Keuchel might be the best pitcher on the market this year as a free agent. I mean, guys like Clayton Kershaw could opt out, but he won't opt out.
He won't opt out.
And David Price could opt out, but he's not going to opt out. I mean, he has an opportunity to go back to the Red Sox and make $30 million. When you look at the market of starting pitchers who are going to be available, Keuchel's going to be one of the top guys, top two or three pitchers on the market this year.
And he's got the man that moves him, Scott Boras.
Well, he'll certainly get premier price. He won't be settling, that's for sure.
No, he will not.
So, we enter the postseason. Red Sox, 108 wins, you mentioned. 91 wins for the Dodgers. Red Sox, on paper, do seem to be the better team. But in a series of perhaps seven games, you never can
Anything
tell.
Anything can happen.
All right, when we come
I'm
back.
I'm excited. Bring it on.
We will have our He Said, She Said segment. We're going to look at some big quotes of the week. And it will be interesting to see what everyone is up to when we return on SB Nation Radio.
Guys, the holidays are quickly approaching. Don't wait until the last minute to get a gift. Head over to giftingmap.com today. Giftingmap.com. This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, welcome back. And it is Monday night, so there is Monday Night Football. And we've got Jeff Zell down on the ground. Give us an update, Jeff, on the game.
Okay, David, it's halftime. Falcons lead this one 10-3 over the Giants. By the way, guys, this is the first Monday night game all year with no scoring in the first quarter. But then in the second quarter, Matt Ryan completed a 36-yard pass to Austin Hooper and then found Marvin Hall for a 47-yard touchdown on the very next play with 4:51 left in the half to give the Falcons a 7-0 lead. The Giants went on an 11-play, 77-yard drive, highlighted by a Sterling Shepard 31-yard catch at the Atlanta 13, but the Giants had to settle for a 31-yard field goal with 50 seconds left in the half. That gave the Falcons just enough time to drive down the field and kick a 40-yard field goal with 3 seconds left in the half. Now, Matt Ryan has been pretty sharp, 12 of 18, 193 yards and a touchdown. He's targeted Julio Jones 8 times, and he's completed 5 of those for 57 yards. Meanwhile, Eli Manning, he completed his first 9 passes, has cooled off a little since then. He's 13 of 16 for 154 yards. Odell Beckham Jr., 3 catches for 57. Sterling Shepard, 2 for 15. Saquon Barkley, 6 catches for 36 yards. But on the ground, just 8 yards on 7 carries. Both offensive lines have struggled. Atlanta has sacked Eli Manning 4 times. Matt Ryan's been sacked 3. By the way, a couple of injury updates. Eli Apple for the Giants, an ankle injury. Return is questionable. Brandon Fusco, the starting right guard for the Falcons, had to limp off the field. His return is also questionable. Once again, halftime, Falcons 10, Giants 3.
That's Jeff Zeller, man on the ground at halftime. Thank you so much, Jeff. All right, we now turn to our He Said, She Said segment where we look at what sports luminaries have said during the course of the week, and we break it down. And let's start with Jacksonville. This is Doug Marrone explaining why he had to benched Blake Bortles. And let's hear what he had to say.
The thought process behind it was, you know, you could take all 11 out, but you don't have enough people to put in. So the thought process was, hey, listen, I'm going to take the quarterback out, all right? It's not like he played worse than anyone else out there. You know, he did have the two fumbles, but at the same time, I just literally did it to try to get a damn spark from this football team to put everyone on notice, okay, to that they have to focus and they have to go out there and play better.
what are you smoking? He was worse than anyone out there. Two fumbles? They led to touchdowns. Yes, he was worse than everybody out there. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Bortles is in a tailspin.
He's in a tailspin, and he wasn't consistent last year.
Right.
But you up and give him a 3-year extension. Oy, yay, yay. And look what you get. Wow. Do you like what Marone said?
No. Look, Bortles is not performing. But I will say this. There's something happening to that defense, too. They're not playing at the same level. And so it would seem to me he's trying to say across his team, look, you can't just pick on one guy. Jalen Ramsey comes out and basically makes some comments. It looks like he's trying to point the finger at Blake Bortles. And I think the coach is saying, hey, everybody needs to look in the mirror and pick up their game. No doubt, Bortles is a problem. But there are other people who are maybe throwing in the towel because they know no matter – maybe the logic. And it would be easy to slip into this is – no matter how well I play, it doesn't really matter because we don't have a quarterback.
True.
Well, the next one is James. We have Jalen Ramsey's comment on this, and he says, he's going to make it clear that everything isn't right in Jacksonville.
I don't know, man. I guess. What you think, man? Y'all walk in here. Y'all see how it is in here. Y'all see how we vibe with each other. Y'all see how we vibe towards the coaches. Y'all see how it is. This is no secret how what's going on here right now. Ain't nobody gonna say it because, you know, we can't, but it ain't no secret what's going on, and it ain't right now. So it is what it is.
Okay, so what's he saying? Is he saying the coaches or is he saying Blake?
Oh, I think he's saying Blake. I think he's saying it's no secret we got a bad quarterback and that's unraveled the whole team. I mean, unfortunately he's right. But coach can't say that. Coach is saying everybody has to play their own game.
Right.
Bad times in Jacksonville.
And coach has to save a little face since they're paying him for another couple of years.
Yep. All right, let's go to number three. Patrick Mahomes. You've heard of him? He's sort of a hot name these days.
Is he doing a little QBing in Kansas City?
He is setting the world on fire. And he explains how he wanted to surprise his dad by wearing a Mets jersey. His dad's Mets jersey. Let's hear what he had to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's my dad's jersey. He doesn't even know I was wearing it, but I thought it'd be cool to kind of wear his jersey. It's a primetime game, and hopefully he likes it.
I love that. That's respect.
Yep.
That's very cool. Different sports, but his dad was a major league pitcher for the Mets, and that's very cool. I like that he did that. And it's a good thing that Patrick Mahomes did not play for Ed Orgeron at LSU because those two voices together, those press conferences would be something.
Right. All right, let's go to the next one. This is baseball. This is the Red Sox ace.
You love this.
Chris Sale. Love this. And as most people know, he had to check into the hospital with some kind of stomach issue in the playoffs. And the question was, what happened? What was he? Was he sick? Was it food poisoning? And he came out in front of the media and said, no, it was not food poisoning. He said it was something else.
I had irritation from a belly button ring. Just kind of constantly taking it in and out, causing irritation, got a rash down there. So, you know, I had to take care of that. Doctors and nurses over at MGH were awesome. So, you know, things happen and you handle them and keep moving forward.
Now, let me say why I don't believe this is true. I know you've got a belly button ring. I know you take it in and out. But you've never said that it created any kind of irritation, and it never prevented you from coming to work.
No rash over here.
You have no rash.
Jeez.
No rash, Carla. And this belly button ring hasn't caused you any problems.
Chris needs to talk to me. I could tell him how to keep it, you know, sanitary.
What is going on?
Tell you what.
So you're proof that it's not a problem.
That's right.
He just made that up.
Clean ring over here.
Clean ring, Carla. Mm. Jose, you agree, right?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. I think, Carly, you need to get on the phone with him and teach him how to sanitize.
I think I'll do it, Jose. If you get him on the line, I'll tell him.
Well, this created such a controversy that the next day there was more discussion about this and Chris Sale's take. Let's hear what he had to say today about this.
A lot of people thought you were joking when you mentioned the belly button story. Were you being serious about that?
I'll leave that for you guys to debate.
He's having fun with the modern media, is he not?
He's having fun. I would love to have thought that the media guy was having fun and asking that question, but sadly, I think he was serious.
Right.
Oy.
Well, you know the Boston press. They need to know every little detail. You'll be getting calls about your belly button ring very soon. People want to know what's really happening there with the gloss. Okay. Manny Machado, shortstop, Dodgers.
Manny Punchado.
He has bad history. He really does, right?
I mean, I so love his talent. I can't get enough of it. But there are just some things. He could be quite spicy in this World Series.
Well, Dodgers picked him up in the midseason, and he has been good for them. I mean, I wouldn't say at the top for them, but he's been good for them, and he enters as a really key figure in this series. He has a history with the Red Sox, and you may recall last year there was a big crisis with the Red Sox.
Earlier this year.
When he was with the Orioles. Throwing pitches around his head. And let's hear what he had to say about pitches thrown up around his head.
Power stuff. I mean, that's stuff that you don't do. But, I mean, I'm not on that side. I'm not in that organization. They're still thinking about that same slide that I did that was no intention on hurting anybody. And, you know, I'm still paying. I'm still trying to get hit at. Get thrown out of my head. Get thrown out everywhere. You know, I've lost my respect for that organization, for that coaching staff, for everyone over there.
I saw you sort of down at the bench after that fact. I mean, the conversation.
I mean, you're going to hit me. Go ahead. Hit me. No, don't let the keep lingering around and, you know, keep trying to hit people. I mean, it's maybe we should do something about pitchers out there with balls in their hands, throwing 100 miles per hour, trying to hit people. I got a bat, too. I could go up there and crush somebody if I wanted to. But you know what? I'll get suspended for the year, and the pitchers only get suspended for 2 games. That's not cool.
Woo!
Wow, it sounded like a phone dialing a number. There were so many beeps for his F-bombs. What's so interesting is now fast forward. That was when he was an Oriole early in the season. Fast forward, he's a Dodger. Yep. And in the NLCS, Aguilar from the Brewers, first baseman, has got his foot on the bag to throw out Machado. And Machado goes inside on the bag, purposely drags his foot to kick the living bleep out of Aguilar, intentional.
Yep.
So the very thing he's ranting about is the very thing he was doing. It wasn't a head, but the issue
with the Red Sox was that he slid into second base with his spikes up and hurt Dustin Pedroia. So there he's really willing to get quite physical, and then the Red Sox did the payback with the high pitch. So this is a battle, and it'll be something to watch in this World Series matchup. Machado returns to a team that really doesn't like him.
And arm as a bee.
He's obviously ready for a fight.
Oh, sure he is.
I mean, he dropped more F-bombs there than I've ever heard you do off the air. I mean, you're always good on the air, but off the air, well, he was even worse than you.
I only drop F-bombs when my belly button ring gets, you know,
well, that's the rash
infected.
Problem, of course.
Oh, does me in.
All right. The Lakers and Rockets, speaking of little
fight night.
Little fight night, little zest.
Who needs McGregor, whatever they are?
It was a big fight night. Lakers-Rockets in L.A. It was LeBron's first game in L.A. at home.
First home game, right.
First home game, and we got to hear Brandon Ingram, who was in the middle of it all. This is what he had to say about his suspension.
Well, it was better than we expected. I'm happy it's only 4, but I know I got to control my emotions a little bit better. Apologies to my teammates for that game. I know it could have came out better, but... In any situation like that, I got to protect my teammates.
You think? Did you see how the whole thing started? I here's who is not getting enough press in this.
Yes.
So obviously in this melee that occurred at Showtime, you know, Ingram got 4 games. Rajon Rondo spitting in CP3's face got 3.
Yep.
And CP3 throwing a punch back at him got 2. Who needs to be mentioned in this is James Harden, who was how this entire thing started. It was his finesse and his explosiveness to the basket that burned Brandon Ingram like he was on fire.
Yep.
Ingram didn't like it, so he shoved Harden. He just was tired of getting outplayed.
Sure.
And Harden did nothing. He didn't retaliate back. Brandon Ingram even went at the ref. Did you see him getting in the referee's face?
Yeah, it was untitled. It was unwarranted.
He was absolutely like a 10-year-old. It was unbelievable. And it was all for a clean, he just cleanly got outplayed by Harden and couldn't take it. And, you know,
it was an act of frustration more than a response to hostility.
Right, absolutely. And Harden, even then Brandon Ingram, after the whole thing started, then Brandon Ingram went back and shoved Harden in the back. It wasn't just enough that he blew past him and shoved him. Then he did it again. And I've got to say, I really wish that Chris Paul had not thrown a punch, because the NBA has to fine you. It has to suspend you at that point.
Yep.
Because, but when someone spits in your face, I would have to fight back. I wouldn't be able to sit there and just take
to
it.
To me, there is the physical push. I get that. But the spitting in your face is so disrespectful. And he did it right up in his face, up close. So, no, Rajon Rondo deserves a lot of culpability here. I really found that quite offensive. And even it's a bad image for the NBA. It's really an ugly image.
It's an NHL type of image. Mm-hmm. In a non-NHL sport. Hmm. And what was interesting, so Rajon Rondo got off so easy, as did Brandon Ingram. And he even said in the press conference, you know, wow, I was surprised it was only four games, because not only did he initiate it, but he continued to exacerbate it. He came back around after...
He threw a sucker punch
yep. between Paul and Rondo.
Yeah, he did. Behind the back.
And then going after the referee. Like, seriously, it was like up in his face. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, LeBron, what have you gotten yourself into? I'm sure LeBron was thinking the same thing. And I don't blame him.
Then there was a controversy. People were fighting on Twitter about LeBron putting his arm around Chris Paul.
Yes.
Diffusing the situation through Chris Paul. It's like, oh, that's not your teammate. That's like his best friend.
One of his best friends. So, and good for him to do it. That showed me a lot about LeBron. I liked it.
All right. When we come back, we will wrap up the show with... well, what we learned from Carla today. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, this is my favorite time. I get to talk about what I learned from you over the last 2 hours.
You've kind of been sticking it to me today. You're telling all my secrets.
Well, a few things came out. One is it looks like that... well, if we have to pick four teams for the college football playoff, you would foresee Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and your fifth pick would be the Big Ten champion.
Yes.
You're going with Michigan.
Well, yes, but they're going to have a hard road there. It's going to be Michigan or it's going to be LSU.
Fair
in
enough.
My mind.
All right. Secondly, I notice as we sit here, you've got an IV putting hydration into your body. I guess what I've learned is you don't want to drink too much water.
I'm not about the swish.
You don't want to have a swishy thing in your stomach. No stomach bloating, none of that stuff.
I'm an unswisher.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Jose, every night she wants the IV.
Can we at least give you like flavored water so we don't have to IV drip you every day? That's kind of expensive.
Jose.
Hey, don't.
We talked about this. Am I not worth it?
She's the OBJ of SB Nation Radio.
How many glosses do you have in your life?
Yes.
I want an IV, I get an IV.
All right, let me move to the next one. We now know that Chris Sale did not have an earring infection, or I should say a belly ring infection, because you have said that doesn't happen. That when you have a belly ring and you take it in and out, there's no problem with a rash.
Personal experience.
Your belly
Give
ring
me a
is
call,
just
Chris.
Fine.
It's just fine.
That's helpful
infection
to know.
Infection-free.
Okay. Lastly, spitting on someone is very offensive.
It doesn't work.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.